Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and part two of our two-part study, Debunking the Islamic Antichrist.
New manuscripts and new discoveries, that's a pagan attitude. Look at what Acts 17:21. In Acts 17:11 it said the Bereans were more noble because they searched the scriptures. They didn't search for new manuscripts. And they weren't looking for new renderings and new meanings. You never hear Jesus or the apostles say, well, a better rendering would have been. A better translation would be. You never hear that out of them. But in Acts 17:21 it says, for all the Athenians, pagans, and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some what?
New thing.
And that's why the more you see pagan attitudes in America, everything's got to be new.
Yeah.
New and improved. What do? Change the color of the bottle.
Amen.
Yep. And that's all they do. But they know people are hungry for new, so they got to do something. Now in chapter 5 of his book, The Islamic Antichrist, Joel Richardson mentions that the Mahdi is supposed to find, now watch this, that attitude I was telling you about, it's already bearing fruit and causing apostasy with the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yeah.
People are using some of the findings of the Dead Sea Scrolls to excuse their unbelief. And here in chapter 5 of his book, Richardson mentions that the Mahdi is supposed to find some before unknown Bible scrolls that he will use to convert Christians and Jews. Think about that and put 2 + 2 together. Listen, folks, there is solid evidence that Codex Sinaiticus is a forgery that was made in the 19th century. And yet they have chopped your Bibles up in order to match that manuscript.
Yeah.
And there's very good evidence that it was just a big fake. So who's to say they can't come up with some more fakes, some more manuscripts that they'll discover to prove that your Bible's wrong?
Well, they'll be selling to a willing customer.
Yes, they will. That's right. These guys already have the right attitude for that sucker mentality. And that's what I was getting at, that these prophecy teachers and their followers are ripe for the plucking.
And he doesn't sell this. He just points out as a possibility. We won't really know until we could get a much better rendering from some of the...
You don't know what the Bible says already.
...clearer perspective. But it certainly appears to be a possibility that's been overlooked. And so I share it with you in that... And by the way...
Hogwash. That's one of the most important theological terms of the 21st century. And... folks, don't go to Lifeway Christian Bookstore or Christian Book Distributors and waste your money on what's being put out today.
Amen.
Amen. I just believe you can get most of the good stuff is available free online now.
Right.
Old classics you can get on PDF.
Yeah,
Kindle sells them for 99 cents or for free.
Right.
And this stuff at Lifeway is garbage. Most of it's based on an unbelief in the Bible God gave us.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're just wasting your time. Chuck doesn't need a better rendering. He needs a better faith in God's book.
Amen.
And I've watched Chuck for 20 years. And he's been just going downhill.
Yeah.
And I didn't put it on here, but in recent years, he's hooked up with that crazy guy named Kim something. The guy, he's got the long hair, and he sits up on the keyboard and sings and prophesies. And he plays real loud, and all of a sudden he's like, the Lord is telling me! You know, and he... it's just crazy. And I'm like, Chuck Missler is hooked up. You, some of you know him talking about Kim something. He's on TBN. That tells you what you need to know. Huh? Kim who? No, it's not Kim Jong-un. This is the group think that I was telling you about. Does the fact that a lot of people are on board with this fad make it true?
No.
No, it doesn't. The reason we featured Wally Chubat in our previous study is because his claims are repeated by most of these teachers who are now teaching an Islamic Antichrist. I mentioned that earlier, but here, listen to what he says.
He points out as a possibility. We won't really know until we could get a much better rendering from some of the manuscripts to get a clearer perspective. But it certainly appears to be a possibility that's been overlooked.
Now listen.
So I share it with you in that room. And by the way, I don't know why Joel Richardson and others have picked up on.
Emphasize that. You got to get that picture that this is a groupthink that's going on. And it's selling books. That's the big thing. Is that you got Joe Van Kuvering, who named some Jordanian prince as the Antichrist. Then you got this thing going on and his Mideast beast there. And Sid was hawking his stuff on his program and all that. It's just a fad. It's just a big fad that's taking place. And that topic of the mark of Islam is a bedrock error in this whole issue. And these guys are taking a lie and repeating it, but that does not make it true.
Amen.
It's bogus. So the fourth thing I want to talk about is the Middle East judgment. They make the claim that judgment of God in the last days, in the day of the Lord, is Middle Eastern. Question, is God going to pour out His judgment on nations east of Israel or the whole world? The whole world. In order to make the Antichrist Islamic, the end time map must be viewed as Middle Eastern and not global. And that's why these guys push this stuff. And it's like Calvinism. When you talk about Calvinism, where the Bible says that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world and died for all men and is not willing that any should perish, they say it doesn't really mean that. He died for the elect, and He's really willing that the non-elect perish. You see how that works? In other words, what the Bible says, they just reject. This is a couple of quotes from his book, The Middle East Beast, page 19, Joel Richardson. He says, "Now the question must be asked, in the ultimate fulfillment of the prophecy, where or to whom are these references pointing us? When Jesus returns, who does this passage tell us He will judge? If we take this passage at face value, would it be more reasonable and responsible to interpret these references as pointing us to the modern-day inhabitants of the lands to the east of Israel, where the Moabites, Edomites, and Amalekites once dwell?" Now, what he's doing is he's referencing passages that do focus on a region. How many of you read the Old Testament?
Yeah.
Have you noticed that through the prophets, sometimes they'll say, well, upon Edom, and then upon Moab, and then upon Egypt. You know, that is just an explanation of how God's going to deal with each one. But you take the picture, the whole picture, and you see what's going to happen in the last days. On page 21, same book, quote, "Once more, we must take note that it is not a vague or universal enemy of God's people that is specified. As in Numbers 24, it is Moab whom Jesus, the returning Messiah, will judge." And again in the same page. "And so once again I ask, according to this passage, at the time of the Lord's return, will the primary recipients of His judgment be from Europe, or is the text once again pointing us to the anti-Semitic sons of the East?" The answer is that some texts pinpoint certain judgment on certain people, but each is only part of the whole.
Right.
You have to take all the different passages about the judgment of God and the day of the Lord at the end of the tribulation. And then you see the big picture. And that's what he's not doing and not allowing the Bible to do. And that's when you see that the Bible speaks of these specific nations being judged in specific ways, but the whole of the text regarding the day of the Lord is global. And in Zechariah 14, jot this down, look it up. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1 and the beginning of verse 2, says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh." So what are we talking about here? The day of the Lord. "And thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee." Now read that with me. "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle." Pretty clear, huh?
Yep.
All means all, right?
All
no, that's not what you get. When you read these guys' books, and I just finished that latest one by Joel Richardson, they try to convince you that the word all doesn't mean all.
Yeah.
And it is. It's just stupid. I can't stand it. It drives me crazy to listen to these guys do this to the text. We get back to testimonial evidence. Numerous passages say that all nations, as in global government, will be judged by Jesus. In Joel chapter 3, If you don't know this text, you need to write this down. This is the text that says that God's going to judge the United Nations for parting the land in Israel. And in verse 1 of Joel 3 it says, "For behold, in those days and in that time," talking about the day of the Lord again, "when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem," read verse 2 with me, "I will also gather all nations." Stop. All nations?
All
nations. Read it again. "I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land." That's all. All means all. Can you say that with me?
All means all.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, I want to make sure you weren't just saying it. All means all. You know, it clears up all these isms. Calvinism is cleared up by the all. This thing we're talking about tonight is cleared up by the all. If you really believe, all means all. So that leads to the next question then. If the Antichrist, let's just read it, does Revelation 17 describe Mecca or Rome? Because if the Antichrist is the Islamic Mahdi, then the woman that rides the beast has to be a woman riding the Islamic Mahdi, which would have to be Mecca.
Right.
And we have established that if the whore is Vatican City in Rome, which I believe we have established, then the Antichrist is not Islamic.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to take the time to prove that tonight. We've got 8 hours now.
Yeah.
8 hours of study showing that the whore can only be Vatican City in Rome. Now, some of you may have thought I was beating a dead horse by going line upon line through Revelation 17, but I'm telling you, it's taken that, but there are some people who've come around. Because after watching all the 8 hours, they say, I gotta admit, you pretty well covered it. Mecca isn't, Cincinnati, Ohio isn't, Vatican City is in Rome. So watch the studies. They are convincing many people due to the overwhelming evidence. Point six, they teach that Gog is Antichrist. So we ask the question, is Gog a reference to the Antichrist? And the answer is no. It's not. We're going to see more evidence, actually, so I'm not going to go in deep about this. But Gog leads an Islamic army against Israel and is destroyed sometime prior to the coming of the Antichrist. The remaining Gog army is going to join the Antichrist in a global invasion of Israel at the end of the tribulation period. Okay, and we'll come back to that in a minute. But again, we've got 3 hours of study on the Gog-Magog War available online. Go to bbfohio.com and look in the videos, and you'll see under topics, Gog and Magog War. And then if you want to see the other study we just referenced, you look for the expository study of Revelation and look up Revelation 17. So let's move right on then to point number seven. Gog ends tribulation? That's the claim they make. Does the Gog Islamic Confederacy war against Israel happen at the end of the 70th week of Daniel tribulation? Now watch this. I've learned in recent weeks that a lot of people have never even paid attention to this. Some will take for granted you've read Ezekiel 38 and 39. All the teachers of the Islamic Antichrist claim the Gog wars end with the return of Jesus that we see in Revelation 19. This is not possible. And here's one text that shows clearly that this is not the case. It's in Ezekiel 39 and verse 9. Now watch this. The Gog-Magog war is over, and it says, "And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons of the defeated Islamic Confederacy, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows and the hand staves and the spears." And watch this. Now look. "And they shall burn them with fire 7 years."
Amen.
The Gog-Magog war ends, and then for 7 years, Israel uses the mass amount of weaponry left behind for fuel.
Yeah.
For 7 years. Now, unless you try to make this happen during the first 7 years of the millennium, which would be nonsense, then this Islamic defeat is not at the end of Daniel's 70th week. Daniel's 70th week lasts how long?
7 years.
7 years. Coincidence alert. Daniel's 70th week just happens to last 7 years. The Gog Magog war happening at the beginning of Daniel's 70th week just happens to end with Israel burning the weapons for 7 years. Now, in our studies, I try not to be too dogmatic about exactly when that war is going to happen because it doesn't tell us exactly. But it's obvious that it's going to happen either right before or right after the rapture, according to what we're reading and what we're seeing. So those teaching the Islamic Antichrist are not rightly dividing the word of truth. And that leads to point number 8. And this is one of the big ones, folks. The Antichrist is worshipped globally. This is in complete contradiction of Islamic teaching and prophecies of the Mahdi. You know, one of the reasons why they want to kill you is because they believe you're a blasphemer. Because you worship a man named Jesus. You understand that?
Yep.
You are considered a blaspheming pagan because you worship someone other than God the Father. And they don't teach that Allah is a father. They teach that Allah has no son. That's why they want you dead. And in chapter 19 of his book, Islamic Antichrist, Joel Richardson admits this. But then he tries to explain Islamic worship of a man in light of circumstances. In other words, he tries to paint the picture that they're just so desperate that they go along with this and worship a man. And I don't believe that's true at all. Any explanation is quite a stretch and is untenable in the face of Islamic doctrine. It's simply a blind leap to believe this is possible. And this is going to come together here in the next... We got a couple more points to close up, and this all kind of comes together. And that is that along with the Mahdi, we haven't talked about this, but the Mahdi is also supposed to have a sidekick, like Tonto and the Lone Ranger kind of thing. Well, just like the Antichrist and the false prophet, the Mahdi is going to have a sidekick too. His name's Jesus. Did you know that? See, they teach the second coming of Jesus. They call him Isa. But they teach that Jesus is coming back, and the Mahdi is supposed to be assisted by the return of the Islamic Isa, Jesus. Now, here's the problem with that. Try to follow this. Isa, Jesus, returns, and the world believes he is Jesus, but will worship the Mahdi? Think of that. The world is supposed to believe that this other guy is Jesus, and Jesus is going to say, hey man, you had it wrong all along. He's the man. See that? Confused yet? I boil point this to get through it quickly. Christ is not Christ. Jesus returns, but is not the Christ. That's what this... You have to believe that to believe this Islamic Mahdi thing. They are teaching that he's actually the false prophet. Think about this. So, Jesus Christ returns, but then he returns and declares Mahdi to be the Christ. So, the Antichrist is supposed to be a counterfeit Christ, but is actually the sidekick of the real Christ. Did you get that? The Antichrist is supposed to be a counterfeit Christ, but in actuality, Jesus comes back and is the sidekick of the real Christ, who's Mahdi. It just doesn't make any sense. And sorry, but this ain't happening. And that leads us to the question in point number 10. There's a Muslim Messiah in Israel? This makes no sense. The Jews are looking for a Jewish Messiah. How many of you didn't know that? The Gentile church doesn't get it.
Amen.
A bunch of Gentiles are saying, hey man, he'd probably be some African dude or some hillbilly from Georgia. Henry Kissinger, you know what I mean? Henry Kissinger was a Jew, okay? But Ronald Reagan, was Ronald Reagan a Jew? I don't think so. And it just makes no sense. The Gentile teachers seem to miss the point that he's got to be a Jew. And other than Henry Kissinger, I'm not sure they ever named anybody recently that could have been a Jew. Well, there's some who do claim Hitler had some Jewish blood, so that's interesting. They are not going to accept a Muslim as Messiah. But they will. Now watch this. Now, because people, I say, you think that they're going to accept the Pope? Yes. They will when he declares the New Testament is a hoax. And he's all but done it now, folks.
Yeah. Yep.
The Pope teaches evolution. And has totally undermined the Bible.
Yeah.
And it is no stretch at all for him to announce, we, our scholars, have come to the conclusion that the New Testament is a hoax. And in chapter 6 of his book, Joel Richardson mentions that Islamic prophecy says that when Jesus returns, Isa returns to earth, he's going to do that. They claim that this Isa, Jesus, is going to come and say, hey, I'm Jesus, but that whole New Testament thing is a hoax. It's not really true. Don't believe it. Isn't that amazing? They will accept the Pope as the Antichrist after he declares the New Testament a hoax and declares that the rapture was an alien invasion.
Yeah.
If you don't believe that, Google Lucifer Telescope. The Vatican spent millions on a telescope that they named Lucifer.
Wow.
And it is a part of their evolutionary studies of the possibility of alien invasion, and they are prepared for it. Now, I know it sounds like science fiction, but I'm not telling you that I think this is going to happen. I'm telling you it's happening. They spent millions on a telescope they named Lucifer so that they could watch out for what they believe is the soon coming alien invasion. And there are these priests inside the Vatican practice witchcraft. They're involved in the occult, and they believe they are communicating with these aliens who we know are devils. And they believe these aliens are telling them they're about to visit the earth. And when we disappear, that's what the story's going to be. Alien invasion. And after that, either before or during that time, whoever is Pope will say, oh, by the way, I am Jewish.
That's right.
And there are already a bunch of Jewish cardinals in line to become the Pope.
Yeah.
He could be in Rome right now walking around in a red dress.
Yep.
I'm not talking about Bruce Jenner. I'm talking about a cardinal. And when the Pope embraces all religions as one, which he has already done.
Amen.
And in 1986, Pope John Paul II did it. And more recently, Pope Ratzinger, whatever it is, Benedict, did it. And this one, Francis, will do it. They join all the religions together in a prayer meeting to pray to the one God by many names. And as long as that Pope is allowed to sit at the head of the table, that's all he cares about. Amen. And this is going to happen.
Recently, a delegation of ministers from Papua visited the institution and contributed $10,000, gold bars, and precious gems. Richmond says people from many countries and all walks of life identify and support the cause.
This is definitely a phenomenon that we have seen over the years, which really makes perfect sense, because the Holy Temple is like a magnet that attracts people from all over the world. As we mentioned earlier, the verse in Isaiah, my house shall be called the house of prayer for all people. We have many people from all over the world that are extremely supportive and interested in the concept of the Holy Temple. And I think on the level of prophetic fulfillment, this is a very, very beautiful
thing. The
whole world, people from all walks of life,
is getting involved,
who feel so motivated to do something to identify with the Jewish people and with the God of Israel. Really, over 35 countries from all over the world, from as far away as India, and now, as you mentioned, Papua, many people throughout North America, all over Europe, many people from Qatar. Qatar, which is
Muslim country.
Kind of a surprise, as you can imagine. Have come forward. Also,
he's the head of the Temple Institute.
Papua and India.
They have everything ready
Indonesia,
to build that temple.
And Even we had once a delegation from Mongolia.
What? Wow. They are ready to build a New Age temple, and it will involve the Orthodox offering sacrifice. But God foretold of this tribulation temple with Gentile pagans worshiping in the outer court for the first 3.5 months of Daniel's 70th week. In Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein." Now watch this. "But the court which is without the temple leave out." That's the outer court. "And measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles." They are ready to build, and without even reflecting on Revelation, they are ready to build a temple that the whole world will come together and worship as one. And there will be one section for the Jews and the outer court for the Gentiles. And if you don't know it, just this week, the U.S. Supreme Court made a decision to not allow any American citizen born in Jerusalem to list Jerusalem, Israel, as their birthplace. They are requiring Jerusalem to remain a quote-unquote international city. They will not allow Israel to name its own capital because they are godless and they are under the dark spirit of Satan, and they are moving the world into this whole situation where there's going to be a temple in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem will be the international capital of the world. And the Pope already has a place he's ready to move in. It's there already. He's waiting for all the political things to be lined up, and I believe it'll be part of that confirmation of the covenant, Daniel 9:24-27. And when he confirms the covenant with Israel, and that is the Mosaic Covenant, he will confirm, that means they can reinstate the killing of lambs and the shedding of blood in that temple, which is blasphemous. And in the outer court, the fake Gentile pagan religions will worship. And the Pope will be right there in Jerusalem. And then 3.5 years in, as he's leading the New World Order, he will walk into the temple, cease the sacrifice, and declare himself to be God. Folks, it is all lining up exactly, and that's why this study is so important, not to get your eye off the ball. This is all coming to pass exactly as our forefathers preached. And yet, most evangelicals are junking our forefathers' Bible, and they're junking our forefathers' doctrine and believing fables. And I'm here to say we're not going to do it.
Amen.
And I'm urging you not to do it.
Amen.
Stick to the book. Stick to the old landmarks. Stick to the old paths. Stick, amen, because the date on the calendar has nothing to do with the eternal Word of God.
Amen.
God's Word does not change.
Amen.
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 Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this study. Fascinating book. Fascinating to see everything coming in line, but also the book itself said that even though all these things would be coming into line, men would be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and they would not endure sound doctrine, and they would believe fables, they would reject your word, there'd be a famine of the hearing of the word, and we're seeing all that happen all at the same time, and it's an amazing thing. And we get excited when we think about the implications.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.